Amen. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad that you're in the Lord's house. Always good to see you, and I'm glad you're here to be a part of our worship service. We see we've got a couple, three or four people out this morning. Some of them, because of the wedding last night, they're off on honeymooning, I guess. And we have two or three that's sick, and we'll share that with you a little later. Before we get started, I want to share something with you so that you'll know, and some of our people don't know, and we've got called a time or two like this, but last week when I had the two baptized, it reminded me that I never had shared this with you. But some time back, we had some people come and were baptized, and they didn't come with any clothing, you know, because they just did that. They were here, and they wanted to accept the Lord, and they wanted to be baptized and so forth. And so what we did, had Dudo and Peggy to go and get us some clothing. And what they did, we have uniforms here like this, and they looked hard to find the right clothing that would be sufficient for that. So if you have a friend or someone who comes with you, if they decide to accept the Lord like today, and they haven't come prepared for that, well, we have clothing. We have a small, a medium, and large outfit that they can change into and be baptized. So you folks here, you can share that with your people when you bring them, or visitors, or kinfolks, or whatever might be here. And I think a time or two that it probably has stopped somebody from making that decision that particular day. But usually we know the day or so ahead of time, they usually talk to me or something, we kind of prepare for that. But just in case that we don't, and as I say, we had that to happen a couple times here, and so we don't want that to happen again, because if you come, you want to accept the Lord, we want to help you in every way. We've got the water in the bathroom, we've got the clothes, we've got everything that it takes, and the Lord is here to do his thing. All right, thank you. And again, welcome to each and every one. We're glad to see a couple of folks here. Here's Tina and Ron. Ron had the operation, been out a couple of weeks. We're glad to see you back. We're just welcoming you. Vern, he was sick last week. He's up, back, and going. And so we're glad to see you folks here. And somebody was saying it kind of feels like we've been through revival because we've been here three nights in a row. And so our Friday night thing was Friday night, and then last night the wedding, and tonight. But I hope it did kind of revive you. Coming together like this ought to revive you. And being with one another and sharing in each other's lives and what's going on in your life ought to revive you. Okay, now, I usually, as you know, I usually read from a psalm every Sunday morning, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to read the text that we have for today. And I'm going to warn you also, this text will be our text for the next three more Sundays, for this month. I've never done this before. But before I have taken a book and used that for during the month. But these eight verses I'll be using for the all month long. And if you'll stay with me through it, I think you will be blessed by it and encouraged by it. Hopefully we will. And it reads like this. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 8 reads like this. And he entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own country, her own city, and beheld they brought to him a man sick and a palsy laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves, this man blasphemy. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore do you think you evil in your heart? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to on earth to forgive sins. And then saith he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take thy bed, and go to thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Amen. Let us join now as we come together to worship God.
For a hymn of worship this morning, I'm going to use number 230, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have the prayer. That's all, Stan.
I'm pressing on the upward way, you eyes I'm gaining every day, till and let me stand, I need no end. stand. My faith on it, let's able then. A higher way than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Let's pray together. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful for life itself, another day of life, another day that we can have the joy of coming together as a church family to honor you, dear God, and give you thanks for the great things you've done for us this past week, the provisions that you've provided for, and the joy we've had of being with the church family and in our fellowship and enjoying a night there of celebrating of people getting married. And now, Heavenly Father, we just come back this morning just to celebrate the goodness of God and give you honor and thank you for it. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd look upon us and have mercy upon us and deal with us in a kind way. That Heavenly Father, that you would bless us indeed, that your hand might be upon us. And dear God, that you would withhold the evil things that Satan has in this world, that we would not suffer them, that we would not be pained by them, that we can enjoy all the good things that you have in life for us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for it. Now for our congregation here this morning, everyone gathered here in this auditorium, we pray that Heavenly Father, you forgive us where we fall short, forgive our sins, and help us, Almighty God, to be equipped to serve you better. Help us to live stronger lives for Christ Jesus. In the wonderful name, we praise you. Amen.
Now for communion, hymn, we're going to use number 302, sing the first, third verse.
There are things as we travel this earth shifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe someday will we come to an end, and faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in the hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time had surrendered and earned evermore, I'll still bleed in the old rugged cross.
Father, it's good to be in the house this morning. We pray that the things we say and do this morning will be pleasing to thy sight. We want to thank you for this offering that may be used for the betterment of thy kingdom. We ask you to bless the people. Thank you for the jobs we have that we can bring a portion back to this. We ask you to be with me and bring the Lord's message. Keep us strong in thy service. We do what we ask in thy name.
As you notice on your bulletin there that we have two folks. Carrie Lee has a birthday the 12th, and Omar has a birthday the 11th. And it's not birthday on Sunday, but it's just only 4 days down the road. But he's our elder. Let's sing happy birthday to him in advance, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
And happy
Mother. Okay. Okay, all right. He's done great. All right, to share with you a note here, the you folks who participated and so forth, and says, Dear Porter friends, thank you for the beautiful flowers. For Daddy's memory, he would have been deeply touched, as we are. We appreciate your thoughtfulness and support, Karen and Beulah and Mike Reed, for the Thurley Reed family. Thank you, folks, for being so kind. Also, I want to thank you, folks, for so many of you went to the hymn sing last week, and our choir did right well. We appreciate it, as always. Appreciate you so much. It's a great time that we have when the churches come together and has a good time of worship by song, and then have a good time of fellowship. It was great. So thank you for taking part of that. Thank you for being here Friday night and being a part of that also. It's always a good time when we come together and just rejoice and have fun in the Lord and so forth. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to stand up and say thank you for all of you that helped so much yesterday with this wedding and everything. It really, really meant a lot to us. I just love our church family. We're a true family here. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we miss those folks. And let's see, I was talking about, I noticed three or four more is not here today. And so we've been missing them. Always miss you when you're not here. And then Pauline's not here this morning. Pauline was here, be able to hear Friday night and last night. And she just kind of overdone it a little bit. Two nights in a row was a little too much for her. So she'll be all right, and we miss her, and so forth. And so we're glad that you're here. Okay, as we, I think, fellas, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to, our Bible study at 5 o'clock tonight. If you will, please, I'm going to call it off. I know it's all right. I appreciate it, because I want to spend a little more time with my sisters back there. And for you people that don't know, the three ladies on the back row with Tammy, with Maxine as my three sisters. I had four sisters, and one of them passed away. And from this side is Lola, that's my elderly sister, and then my twin sister there in the middle is Edith. She's 2 years older than her, but she's my twin sister. And we always, wherever one was, we were gonna see the other one. We got stories we could share with you all the time. And then the baby sister there is Nancy there on the left. And so quite a surprise when I see them come in the door. And so it's second surprise we've had this year when our nephews and nieces and all came, and what a surprise that was. And so God is good. He's always surprising you with wonderful things, you know, isn't it? And he's just so good. All right. And again, as we look around. Yes. Amen. All right. Good. Good. Okay, if nothing else in the way of announcements, let's turn to our prayer list and certainly our prayer list, we still have quite a number of people on our prayer list, but we're so thankful that God is blessing. We look around our congregation and see some of their blessing. We have Fanny and Wayne are not here this morning because Fanny's going to have a minor operation tomorrow. And let's see who else is helping because of that. And I got some updates here to share with you. I was looking over my prayer list here. I should have done this earlier to see who some new ones on there. Okay, Richard Ukirk is out of the hospital, doing okay, hope, and so things will go well with him. Margie Combs, that we've had our prayer list for quite a while, says here that she's off chemo, but now is has gallstones and shingles. Oh, boy, and Maxine knows what those shingles is. She's still got a little bit of touch of them. Been about a year process. Terrible things. Jim Swinford has been added to the prayer list. He's Mike's cousin and had heart bypass surgery this past week. Boy, and I know what he went through, and God bless him. But, boy, you know, son, God bless you, and you can get right through those things pretty good. Esther Lee is in the VA hospital. His wife, Janet, is recovering from surgery. And Sonia Welch, and that's Fanny's brother that we mentioned several times. He's been off the prayer list for a long, long time. He's been doing good, and Vernon. And so we want to continue to pray for him. And then Fanny, as I mentioned, she's going to have a little operation tomorrow. I'll be in prayer for that. And let's see who else we got here that we need to recognize. We heard from Gary Fuller last week. He's doing pretty good. They're fixing to do some things for him that prayerfully, well, they'll work and so on. Judy's back today. Been missing her last week, her and Jerry. And things are shaping up a little bit for her. And so we hope that they continue to improve. And certainly our nation, leaders of our nation, keep them in your prayers, and service people, and keep them in your prayers that God will bless them, and we won't get into tangles with other nations and have people's lives wasted away. And the folks in the care homes and such, and those people that care for those people, and the people that in the hospitals and so forth. And then also we have Ron back this morning, so he went through his operation and looked like he was walking pretty good this morning, and so we're glad to have you and Tina back with us this morning. And Jerry, you had something you wanted?
How's your brother doing?
Sir?
How's your brother doing?
Yeah, Grim. As far as I know, in the last report I had from him, the girl's back here at Burlington. He's still doing pretty good, isn't he? We talked to him in the middle of the week there, and so he's done pretty good, and he's home. So thank you for your prayers, and prayers works wonders, and we have experienced them time after time, and so we just continue to pray for one another and pray for those in need, and God will bless them, that's for sure. Doodle, we talked about him. He's going to go this week and get to make arrangements to have your operation right, and so that's working out all right. And so who else? God is so good. And I had to go last Monday to get to the doctor, to my heart doctor, the surgeon, and so we got there. He wanted me to go to get a little test and so forth, so sent me over to the hospital, and they just don't want to know, they don't want us to know how well we're doing, because they give us the wrong test. And so I got home, and the office called and said, well, they give you the wrong test, Benny. You have to go back and do it again. So tomorrow, Tuesday, I'll go back and do that, but it's just kind of a thing that he wants to check and see. And he told me, he said, we were talking and so forth, and he said, get on out of here, he said. Get out here and do your thing, he said. You're doing too good. And so God has been good, and so our doctors and so forth. Isn't it wonderful to see that? And you folks, I mean, it's so good to see you, that just like Ron, I mean, I saw Ron, he couldn't hardly walk the last time he was here a couple of weeks ago, and he come walking in the door. It's so wonderful that we have facilities, we have doctors that have trained, and nurses to take care of us, but the greatest physician is God, isn't it? God puts a seal on it all. That's where it comes from. Amen. Okay, as we come then to our prayer time, we have a good God and wonderful God, and He's always interested in what you're concerned about, and He's concerned about you. As we come to our prayer time, might He bless you.
For prayer hymn, we're going to use hymn number 444, last person, last verse, and Virgil have a prayer.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. When His angel about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand.
The invitation hymn being number 334. Now at this time, the choir brings a special.
Say
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you all. Appreciate it very much. Again, I say thank you for presenting us so well at the hymn sync. You always do well. We thank you for that. As I already shared with you, the fact that we're going to use this text for during all the month. So we really won't get into real the heart of our message here from this short passage until the next couple of weeks. But we're going to be going outside of this text also to get some things that hopefully will be helpful to us and be encouraging to us and help us to see the wonderful things the Lord is doing. And so we know we live in a very negative society. It's just like I was saying, we don't listen to the news and so forth, but you hear news anyhow, and people are telling you what's going on, and it seems like the news people focus on that which is negative, that which has gone wrong, and all the stories of friends tells us almost the same way, and they're always talking about the negative things happen. We as Christians know that good things happen, even though in this world that we're living in now, in such a negative world it is, we are blessed in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. But nevertheless, we live in it, and we live in a negative world, and however we realize that there's good news mixed in with all that bad news that's coming, and we just have to look there to see it. In this passage here, we have the one good thing, and I titled this, proper title for this message, Be of Good Cheer. But I mean, all through this series, we want to be in good cheer. And God's people, and of course we know why to be in good cheer, because Jesus just says so after that, because the man's sins forgiven. If there's anything that should cheer you up, is to realize your sins are forgiven and you're on our way to heaven. I like that song, sins are forgiven, we're on our way to heaven. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. So this morning here, no matter how bad things are, and things may be going in our lives, no matter how badly someone may be treating us, and we know that God loves us. And God is for us, and God has got good things for us as we look to Him. As long as we trust in Him, we're going to be doing all right. Every saved person should be of good cheer. I praise the Lord for it at our rehab down there, and the elderly lady that takes all the statistics of you and so forth. She said, "Minnie, how can you be so cheerful?" And you know, I said, "Well, there's no other way to be, is there?" I mean, listen, God is blessing. In this world that we're living in right now, and to see the things that are happening and taking place, and see the wickedness and the evil that's taking place, and yet as Christian, and see all of the good things of God, how can you not be happy? How can you not be cheerful? She said, "You're the cheerfulest preacher I ever met." I said, "Well, praise the Lord for that. I hope it has some impact on her." In fact, Robert, in fact, she's listening to our sermons now. Yeah, so we got to rehab and listen to our sermons and so forth. And such. So it's great. So be of good cheer. And so hopefully that we're going to see some things happen in this passage as we go outside of it and bring some things in that are not really real good, but all in all, we're going to be in good cheer. And I hope when we get finished that you will be in greater cheer than you've ever been in your life. So as we look at it, we rejoice in the good cheer with all confidence, you know, with all confidence in that God is so good, that God loves us and He's always there for us. He's always there. You know, that we have family sometimes and we get separated and then there's hard feelings among families and so forth, but they're not there. But God is always there. He's always near, always ready, always got an ear to listen, always got a hand to help us with. So the negative people here and the things we had to put up in the daily lives, you know, they used to bother me years ago. It used to bother me to be, but I kind of hate to be around negative people now. I get away from them as fast as I can because I don't want that to come over on me at all. To think that we have so much and God bless us so much and we live so long and there's no way other we can be, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We find here in this passage as he talks about and using this good cheer, three times that we hear Jesus talking about be of good cheer. Another time we see Mark and Luke records this passage for us, and we'll be getting into that later on. But also there's two other times that we hear Jesus. And isn't it wonderful to hear Jesus to speak to the people and say, be of good cheer, you know. And then the second time that I think about this morning that Jesus was, you remember Jesus, actually he's going over, and we'll be talking about in a little bit, over to the Gadarene land. And he's leaving Capernaum, going to Gadarene. and he's tired. Boy's had a weary day. Isn't it one of Jesus? Jesus is human, and we see the humanity of him, and he's weary. And they're in a ship, and in a boat, and he goes to sleep. And a storm comes up in the waves and so forth, and the disciples cry out to him to wake him up, you know. And so when he wakes up and hears the waves all and the boat's all rocking around and they're all frightened, and Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm here. I'm here." He says, so it's wonderful to hear him say that, be of good cheer. And we see him at another time that it has to do with water. And he has sent his disciples off, and they're to go across the Sea of Galilee. And he's up in the mountain praying, and another storm comes. And we talked about that, I think, last week, about the storm was there. And he sees them rolling out there, and they feel like they're gonna perish. And Jesus comes walking on water, and he says to them, "Be of good cheer. Peace be still." It's wonderful. You know, Jesus, even though we see Jesus all the time, and he travels back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus didn't get too far away. The Galilean Valley is about where Jesus dealt with, just areas right there. And he's always going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And usually, you know, even though he walks on water, he's usually in a boat and traveling back and forth. And we see him doing that as we go through this passage today and so forth. So this morning, Jesus can still the storms of life. I like to read those passages where, you know, where the people are, the disciples, they're just all frightened up and they're afraid they're going to perish in the mid-sea and so forth. The storm is storming, and I'm reminded that Jesus can still the storms. He can still the storms in your life too. Jesus is just that way. That's who he is. And so the story of healing the paralytic here is recorded here, as I said, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I want to look at some things here in this. This passage says, "Any entered." How many of you have a New King James Version? Okay, yeah, I knew you had one. Anybody else? And you notice what it says there? That verse starts off with, okay, you weren't there. Shame on you. You should be turned to that text and listen. Back there, you're listening, but you're not turned. But here's what it says. It says, "So." There's two little words, S-O. And that S-O is kind of like, you know, I've talked to you about the therefore. We read a lot of scripture and it says therefore. When you read that word therefore, you need to be alerted, because what that's going to do, that's talking to you about something that has happened and then something that's going to happen, something that it has something to do with what it has just happened, and that will have something to do with what's happening now. And so this S-O word here has the same meaning. And could be, but so has much, much greater meaning for us. And so it says, if you use it here, "So he entered into the ship and passed over. And came to his own city." Where's he been? So this "so" here tells us something took place here that has something to do with what he's doing. Caused him to be doing what he's doing. So let's go back and look. They have went across. I just mentioned the fact that he was asleep in the boat and so forth. They were going over to the land of the Gadareans. And over there in the land of the Gadareans, you remember the story very well. They met a man with the demons. Matthew says there's two men, and Mark says there's one, and we can understand that. That's explainable, because the writers has here different ways of explaining what's happened. So there's not a confusion here about one or two. It possibly could have been two. The only thing that Mark talks about the one is the fact that he's putting the importance on that man of the conversation with that one person here. So he says, and he got in the boat and come across to his own city, but they've been in Gadarea. When they got over there to the land of Gadarene, they met this man who had the demon possessed. And he cast the demons out. And you know the story, how that the demons were cast into hogs. I was reading a dude on that land mostly has sheep and goats. And I don't know where this hog hurt. Do you say herd of hogs? Hog of herds. This herd of hogs come from. But nevertheless, the demon possessed it. When they pulled the demons out, the demons knew who Jesus was. Isn't that something? The demons knows who Jesus is. And they talked to Jesus. So Jesus cast the demons out with this man. And they asked if they could go into the swine. It's grazing on the hillside there. And Jesus permits that. Okay. And they rushed down the hill. You know, the demons knew who Jesus was. They didn't repent. But being they were in a swine, they got baptized. They went in the ocean. All of them did. But nevertheless, it teaches us something here. Even the demons know who Jesus is. And the demons know the power of Jesus. And they talk to Jesus, and they know what Jesus can do here for them. So this Jesus has talked to the demon-possessed man, and the scripture says this demon-possessed man who was causing so much confusion, bothered so many, I was reading last week to you also that it says that there was a survey taken. I don't know who exactly did the survey. Survey taken, it says over 50% of the people believe that they're demon-possessed people. And I really believe that. God is at work. And I'll tell you, the demons is really at work. Last night, Saturday night, they really work on Saturday night. But there's demon-possessed. Did you read the terrible story last week about the guy that was trying to cast the demons out of his son? And he had taken his six-year-old son. Evil thing, I hate even to mention something like this. That's so evil and so terrible. But he took his six-year-old son and took him into the bathroom, locked the door, and put him in a tub and held him in a tub and run hot water down his throat. Killed the boy. Killed the young man. The mother heard the confusion going on in there, and she couldn't get in because the door was locked. The time she got the door unlocked, the young lad was dead. Who had the demon? That's what he said. He was trying to flesh out the demons out his six-year-old child. Where was the demon? The demon was in the father. The demon should have the water run down him. And if I had my due, I would do that. Yes. Demons possessed. So we still said, so a wonderful thing that God could come, Jesus could come along and cast the demons out of this man who was causing so much confusion and scaring so many people. And it says that he's sitting there in his right mind. Now listen to what the people said. The people said, leave us alone. People from town, the hog owners said, leave us alone. Get out of here. Get out of here. And you know there's a real lesson here for us. Jesus, as far as this scripture says, all through the Bible, I can't see. I don't see where Jesus ever went back to Gadarene. Never went back to that land. They wanted him to leave. And that teaches me, you know, there's people today, and they don't want Jesus. They don't want no part of Jesus. Jesus is so wonderful. He comes into our lives and changes our lives, renews our lives and blesses us. He walks with us, talks with us, and leads us in our way. And then there's people that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want him to have any part of their life. And so there's many people that they say, I don't want anything to do with you. Go away, Jesus. Don't do that. You know what? If you do that, a person who would do that had better understand the Gadarene story. Because you might say, go away, Jesus. Don't want you nothing to do with you. And he will do that. He will not force himself on you, but he may never come again. I like that song, and we were looking for it the other night. I forgot it already, Kathleen. That song that says, what's it say?
Sometimes the spirit yeah. go away and come back another
yeah.
time.
Anyhow, it has the fact, that go away, and so forth, and come another day, and such, just might not come another day. And there are people that just don't because of the world. They're caught up in the world and all the things taking place. And the world does excite people. I can understand young people sometimes. The world seems so exciting to them and catches them up, and they are fooled and tricked and by Satan and so forth. And it's a terrible thing that happens to our young people here. I had that song wrote somewhere. Where was it? Almost persuaded. That's what it was. Almost persuaded. And there's many people that I've seen people in revivals sometimes, and they'll clutch the back of the pew, and you can almost see the red in their knuckles, and they're that near wanting to, but then they won't give their lives over to Jesus. And sometimes they won't have another opportunity to do that. Great message there from Gadarene as it comes. So Jesus comes, teaches us a lesson there with the Gadareans, says he come back to his own city. Well, Capernaum, he's coming back to Capernaum. That's not his own city. We know that Jesus was raised up in Nazareth. But what happened? He couldn't do many works at home. his brothers and sisters, he had sisters, brothers and sisters, and the home folks, they rejected Jesus, similar to the Gadarean. They just didn't believe that he was who he was, and they just rejected him. And so he left Nazareth, and he took up residence in Capernaum. Some say he lived with Peter. Peter was lived in Capernaum. Later, Peter was a fisherman, him and his family. They were well-to-do people, so I could see a large house there, and he had room. And so Jesus, to my understanding, stayed with Peter, which was great. Now it says here, so I look at this passage, and that's where I visualize they are. You could probably think, well, they are someplace else. They're in a certain room and so forth. But what happens? Now, it says that, and he came into he passed over, came into his own city, and behold, they brought it to him, a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are been forgiven. What takes place there at that time that we're reading about? If a rabbi came to your house, say it wherever it was, and we're looking at Capernaum here, and so if a rabbi came and stayed at your house tonight, the whole city would be in your yard. Why? Because they want to hear what that rabbi has to say. They want to hear the teaching. And, of course, of all the things that's now already taken place with Jesus, the miracles he's performed, casts the demons out, and even makes heals Peter's mother-in-law and such, they have heard all this, and he has been called a rabbi, and they know he's in the house, and they all gather. And the yard's full, the house is full, nobody gets there. So he talks about this man that they bring. And they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lay on a bed. Jesus see him and said, see, be of good cheer. And behold, here. I want to give us this thought. Mark says there's four men that carried this paralytic man, crippled man. And I think a lot about that, you know. Four friends. I don't know who these friends were. Whether they were past schoolmates, I don't know. I don't know what age they are. I don't know what age the paralytic is. Only thing I do know that he's crippled and he can't go. And he has four friends. Maybe they're co-workers with him. Maybe like much in the plant, a Toyota plant, maybe four friends there and the co-workers, and he's got crippled. Now that this passage teaches me also that it's possible this man has brought this on himself. It's very possible. We do know that the scriptures teaches us that people bring things on themselves. Last night there were people who went out and did things will be sorry tomorrow or are sorry today that they did those. And they also will be some that will cause trouble to themselves, will harm themselves, will hurt themselves in some way, be disabled in some way. You, for example, poor example, but take a fellow that's out last night and he gets a few beers and a few liquored up. He runs his car into a sycamore tree that's stronger than his car, and he gets two broken legs. He's not able to go. So I have in my thoughts and study that this man, this young man, I think it's a young man, I don't know where I get that, brought this on himself. I hear Jesus telling another one that was brought to him, caught in sin, and he forgave him of his sins. And what he told him as he walked away, he said, and he told a lady this too, you know, the lady that he talked to, and said, go and sin no more. What does that tell us? Whatever was taking place came about because of his sin. So nevertheless, regardless of how this is, what's brought the sin on us or worth, he's in a dire need of healing. Now these four friends brings him. I can picture him possibly, these four friends are probably saying, you know, come on, we're going to take you to Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. And I really don't know whether these four friends or this paralytic, either one, believes in Jesus at all. And I'll talk a little bit later on that in another sermon. But we know this. They know enough about Jesus to know what? That Jesus can help. Everybody needs to know that.
You need to know Jesus can help you. Doesn't make a difference what your problem is. Doesn't make a difference what you're up against, what your condition is. Jesus can help. These four friends come to understand that. And they understood if they could get this young man, this paralytic, to Jesus, he could help them. Friends take their friends to meet Jesus. Friends take their friends to meet Jesus. I can visualize, he said to this paralytic, here's the four, and said, come on, get on that cot. We're going to church. That's really what they had. They was having church down at Peter's house. The whole house was full. The whole yard full. He said, we're going to church. Sometimes we ought to take our crippled friends. And you know, there's the only one, the worst crippling thing in a person's life is what? Sin. Sin will cripple a person worse than anything. Sin is a thing that cripples people. And so if we can get to Jesus, if you have a crippled friend, you need to be a friend, as these friends were the friend to that friend, and get them to Jesus. You see, because Jesus can help. And we don't have a lot of time to go on into that. We hope we have a pretty good section of this later on. But I want us to understand, they know who Jesus is. They don't know what Jesus can do. They have heard. And it makes no difference whether they believe that Jesus really is who he is or not. They know and they believe that Jesus can help. And they don't hesitate about taking their friend to see Jesus. And you know the story, how that they got there and there was no way to get in. And they didn't let that stop them, did they? You know, I can almost see them for, and probably some people probably didn't like what they were doing. And these four was pushing their way through the crowd, trying to get to Jesus. The door is jammed with people. Jesus is speaking from the inside, from the living room out. They can't get to him, but they don't let that stop him. They push through, and they get onto the housetop, and they tear up the roof. And if you study a little bit about the construction of those buildings, you can understand how, you get the thought, you know, if they're tearing up the roof, there's going to be plaster and stuff falling down on Jesus and all that. That really didn't have to happen. Because the way the roofs were made, a lot of them are made with sticks and mud and so forth, and you can take a big part of that and fold it back. They're made with big clay tile, and you can fold them back. And so they tore up the roof, however they had to do, and let this man down in front of Jesus. And folks, listen, I would imagine there would be some Pharisees there and said, well, what are you doing crowding through here, pushing through and so forth? You know, people do that when somebody's pushing through the crowd. But listen, if you have a friend that needs to come to Jesus, you need to push through. Bring that friend to Jesus. Get him to the foot of Jesus. You're not going to do him no good standing out on the sidewalk. You've got to get him to Jesus. And they didn't hesitate. They did whatever they had to do to get that man there. And I say to you this morning, you have friends. And you need to do whatever you have to do to get that friend to Jesus. Go by and say, come on, I'm going to come down and pick you up tomorrow. We'll go to church. Get them to Jesus. Friends get their friends to Jesus. Whatever it takes. Be consistent. They persisted. You know, they could have said, well, we're down here. We've carried him down here for 5 or 6 blocks. And we can't even get in the yard. What do? We just take him back home. No, they didn't do that, did they? They pressed on, it says. They pressed on. And as they did, and as they let this man down before Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to him in his life. You know, if he did, you know, I like this, like the verse that says, you know, God works everything for good for those who love him, called according to his purpose. God does that. God does that. But you know, I also see sometimes that God will do things for some people who don't love him and are called according to his purpose, just to get them to understand that they need to be called to his purpose.
But nevertheless, whether this young man don't know his, and you don't either, I don't know. The scriptures don't teach us, don't tell us. Only thing we do know, they believed enough about Jesus that they could help his friend. And they was going to get their friend to him, regardless of what happened. And they did. And the greatest joy can come is what Jesus said. But I wanted to say this, you know, regardless of what he did, let's say it was his fault. Maybe it was his sin that caused him to be a paralytic. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. But whatever it was, God used it for good, didn't he, for that man? Because look, what did Jesus say? Can't you visualize? Jesus might have looked up and seen them, and they let him down with ropes. And he said to that young man, be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and go to thy house. You know, friends, if there's anything that I would want you to do this morning, I wouldn't want anybody to leave this place this morning until they could really say and go in a cheerful way and say, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. That Jesus that forgave this young paralytic of his sins. And we know he had sins because Jesus stated that. He still operates today. He's still here. He's still available. And he's still willing. If you come, he will say, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Again, I say, if you go to leave this place and not able to say, my sins are forgiven, you don't need to do that. You see, folks, if we get the love of God wrong, if we get Jesus wrong, if we get it wrong about forgiveness of sin, if we get it wrong about salvation, we have no hope. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. This man took up his bed, went to his house, and he had hope. He had joy. He had peace. He had comfort. He had the promise of eternal life. How about you this morning as we come to our invitation to him? How about you? Can you really say, my sins are forgiven? If you can't say that, Jesus says, come. He will forgive you, everyone. As we stand and as we sing our invitation here. First verse only. If there's need in your life for anything, we invite you to come. It's not my invitation. I invite you because Jesus has asked me, told me to invite you to come. Come. First verse only. Folks who have been in the Lord's house, it's always great to see you in the Lord's house, and it's just encouraging to see people who want to praise the Lord and seek the Lord. And I hope that this week that you seek the Lord, that he'll just bless you like never before. He's that kind of a God. God bless you. Hey, listen, if you're talking to my sisters after the service, don't believe everything they tell you. Yeah. They used to tell my dad and mom things that weren't so for me, you know, just to get me in trouble. No, they were good sisters. They were good sisters, yeah. We're so glad that you come. And glad you get to meet my family. Yeah. God bless you. And no Bible study tonight. And we look forward to seeing you next week and having a joyous time in the Lord. God bless you as you go forward. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to have a God like you. A loving Savior like Jesus. And your written word that can help us and encourage us as we look into it and see how that you deal with people. And you're always dealing with love, with compassion and kindness and forgiveness. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that. And we know, Heavenly Father, as we think about each person in this auditorium this morning, when we leave here, we really pray, Heavenly Father, that everybody can say, my sins are forgiven. And then they'll go forth this week, Heavenly Father, and be blessed in a week that they have never had before, because they have come to seek you, who is the way, the truth, and life, Jesus our Lord, in whose name we praise you and thank you. Amen.